It's game day in the city. It's the Fan Morning Show, round two. Uncharted waters, folks. We made it. I got new lipstick for the show today, and it is already a better day in the city. This is 25% better than yesterday.
Why do you look at the package?
I just wanted to look at it one more time.
It's written on the package. It's 25% better than yesterday's lipstick. And you actually picked a better time to apply it.
It's so good. Honestly, I'm starting to like really lean into this. It might be my thing. Shout out to Kat Von D and her makeup line, because it says it's long-lasting, everlasting. It might not come off my face.
If we did word association with Kat Von D, one would be tattoo, two might be lipstick. So at least she knows, you know.
She's got a great marketing campaign here. The name of it is Scorporous. Whatever that means.
We struggled with that pronunciation, too.
Nonetheless, it's already a better day. The vibes are high.
This is a first... In a long time, second round game day. It's like, we don't know how to act. What are fans going to do? How are media going to respond? How are the players going to respond? It's a very, okay, we just over the hump. Now what's on the other side of the hump? I guess today we begin to find out.
A shout out everybody this morning. It's getting up with a little pep in your step. What's the vibe? Vibe check, 590. It's a new day. It's a new series. The Florida Panthers in town, starting game one off here at Scotiabank Arena, 7 p.m. puck drop. And the bracket is set. The New Jersey Devils.
Boy, oh boy, did they look good yesterday.
Remember the Devils in 7 prediction? That's maybe the only one I really got right. So
there you go. What did Bunker have in that one?
Shout out to Bunker, because he went 5-3.
5-3 is pretty good.
And think about the two that nobody in the world got.
Yeah.
Right.
Which was the
Bruins and the Kraken. Of course, he, you know, give him a minute. You know, he's 3 months old. Nobody saw that coming.
If you went better than 6-2, then
get on the show.
Yeah, it'd be hard to go better than 6-2. I guess 6 would be sort of the. You had to have Jersey to get to 6-2. But yeah, it was not many brackets still available. And now the bracket's looking pretty wide open for the Toronto Maple Leafs, who begin their second round. I will say, though, you mentioned Jersey. They looked real good last night. Like,
that kid
really,
in net is like a whole new world for them.
Yeah, he wasn't tested too much in the first two periods, but he was like very calm. There was a couple like 2-on-1s, 3-on-2s where he just made the saves look easy when they probably weren't. And the Devils, they just play with a lot of speed, overwhelm the Rangers. There goes both of our... preseason Stanley Cup pick? Do we both have them to win the Stanley Cup early on? We both had bets at least, but yeah, that's you would basically
you'd
give it up on that when they were up. Well, they were down when they first began the series. You were out on the Rangers.
How about acquiring Patrick Kane?
Yeah, it didn't work out so well, but I mean, they didn't pay much,
right? No. But it was like that was going to be showtime, baby.
Yeah, he didn't look very good. That was the one series that I saw like the least of, so I don't know how poorly or good he performed. But in Game 7 last night, there was like no juice from the forwards with the Rangers, and they're like kind of an all-star crew with Patrick Kane and Tarasenko added to an already impressive forward group. So, disappointing for the Rangers.
Over there? What do you think?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think the Devils are just pretty good. I think if the Leafs are circling a team, you don't want to get past.
Devils, yeah.
I think the Devils are going to the Eastern Conference Final, though. So we can be talking about them.
The Devils did this with Timo Meier getting exactly 0 points.
Really? 0 points?
Zero.
There were some high scoring games, too, wasn't there?
Fat zero and a -3.
Yikes.
So, I mean, that's the guy that you went all in on, too, and he hasn't even done anything yet. So keep that in mind. It's a bit spooky.
I think we should revise our list here now that we have 8 teams left. We did the who can win the Stanley Cup thing, who can win the Stanley Cup exercise when we were talking about the Conn Smythe Trophy. We won't have to do that now. But Leafs were on our list. Florida was not.
No.
Devils were not. Carolina was not. So there you go, Leafs. In the West, Dallas was, right?
Yep.
You had Dallas. Edmonton was, yeah.
Yes.
Vegas, no.
I forget.
Vegas was a maybe.
But I
was a no, I think.
I mean, it's the Oilers on the West Coast.
And the last team that I'm forgetting is Seattle, and they were definitely a no. So is it as simple as Leafs, Oilers, or Stars?
Put the Devils in there. How about that?
I'm willing to put the Devils in there.
So that's just the teams that we think are going to advance then. I think if it's Leafs and Devils Stars and Oilers, it's kind of like if those four teams advance, that's a winning recipe.
I still feel like it's hard to believe for me that the Devils can win three more rounds, despite how good they looked yesterday. I don't know what to do with that.
I don't know what to do with the Devils, though,
because, you know, I'm trying to cover all my bases with the Conn Smythe Trophy. It's easy. It's Jack Hughes, right? Mm. It's Jack Hughes or Akira Schmid. But I don't know what to do. Maybe just wait for that one to conclude.
They said on the broadcast last night that he's played professional hockey for 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a really young guy.
Yeah.
But like,
I know. I'm going to look it up.
Most Europeans, assuming he's European.
He's playing like junior or something.
I guess he came over to the...
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. He played 2 years up and down from the Devils and the Utica Comets. And then he played in the USHL for Sioux City Musketeers.
Where was he born?
Bern, Switzerland.
Huh. See, that's a different path. Most guys play professionally.
He's 22 years old.
And then come over. Especially goaltenders.
His birthday's in 10 days. Ooh, so maybe he'll be playing. Anyway, those are things to look forward to.
Okay, so do we think, though?
Think we just set our next round of bracket here.
Yeah, I guess that didn't take long. But Leafs, Dallas, Edmonton against the field, we would easily take. Even like minus 200, we take Dallas, Edmonton, Toronto.
Yes. I think so.
It's pretty cool that two of the three teams we think can win are Canadian.
When was the last time that the two favorites to win the Stanley Cup were Canadian teams? legitimately.
That definitely predates the last series victory for the Maple Leafs.
I think you're right.
I don't remember a time when two were like Vancouver was great for a while, and they could have always been there. But even after that, I mean, the last Canadian team? No, Montreal. There was a string of years, not long after the Leafs last won a series, where a Canadian team was in the final for, I think, four straight years.
But were there two teams?
But there were never two
that were favorites. Like, it always seemed like late.
The whole like Canada's team thing started because there was always only one good team for like a good 15-year stretch. There was like one team that would give you hope. Edmonton 06. Mm-hmm. I think the Flames were 05 or 04 because of a lockout. Then 07 was the Senators. I guess that's pretty much it.
Right now, it's Maple Leafs plus 365, Oilers plus 390, and then a jump to plus 550 for Dallas. There's your value pick.
Vancouver 2011. Yeah, I think Dallas at 550 is a good bet still. I got them Western Conference since before the start of the playoffs. Like, I think they should handle the Kraken, and then you're in a coin flip scenario. It's suddenly real. Like, this is the thing. Like, we have we've never been in the position where it's like, oh, there's only eight teams left and one of them is the Maple Leafs. We haven't been in this position in 19 years. And it's like, it looks wide open like for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I saw a screenshot or like a post of the bracket, and there's only like one more column before it's you're there. This weird feeling.
And the worst team, probably, at least by record in the regular season,
is the team you're playing.
I think that brings us nicely into what we planned here for the Florida Panthers, because we have been circling two teams all season long, right? We've been talking about Tampa Bay in the first round for 4 months, and then we've been talking about, oh, and then you got Boston, whatever that means. And we've been watching Boston with keen interest. The Boston games late in the season, we were really, really interested in it. And all of this has put aside, I think we've had blinders to everything else. The Devils a little bit. Like, how good are the Devils? That was a reminder last night. We might see them in 2 weeks and what that might look like. But we have totally and completely neglected the Florida Panthers and what they've done this season. And not to say the Leafs are going to walk all over them. It's going to be a battle 100%. But I think we needed a little Florida refresher. So let's do that now.
I think you laid it up perfectly with the word spark snouts. I don't remember if folks...
No, I was pandering to my audience, being you with that. Because again,
remember
you taught me about Spark
thumbing
notes.
Through Sparks notes the night before.
Is it Sparks notes? Because that's hard
notes.
To say.
Sparks notes. Spark notes. There's no double S there.
Good, because I would not be able to say that.
Spark notes. I use that many a time.
Lord of the Flies, Sparks notes,
yes,
like bringing everyone through.
It was always
high
in English
school.
Class when you had an entire book to read and you didn't, and it was the night before your long essay review questions about, I don't know, some book that you probably didn't even buy. So Spark Notes has come in handy. It was always Shakespeare. I don't know, just like never was into it. Like, I'm not getting dialed in to read about whatever Shakespeare was up to back then. So yeah, I use SparksNote quite a lot.
All right.
No, I'm not going to put myself on blast.
Is there anything you enjoyed from English class in high school?
I loved English. I was an English major.
That's what English is, reading those books.
I was busy. I played for two hockey teams. I was running around.
Right.
And the last thing I wanted to do was crawl into bed and read, I don't know, Romeo and Juliet at 11:30 p.m.
What did you get in English class in high school? Because like you're
legitimately
kind of
between
here.
90 and 93.
Then how?
Because I was good at writing and I could spin that I read the book.
SparksNotes.
Okay, don't put me on blast. My English teacher listening. But yeah, there was a couple times where I used SparksNotes. Like whatever. Like,
all right.
Still made it through. I got 2 degrees.
I know. I mean, I'm just saying. Like, I thought you'd have some interest in what you were doing.
I liked English class a lot. I loved it.
Just
I loved writing, and I just didn't. I didn't feel like I needed to spend hours reading Shakespeare.
You're more like modern century stuff.
Yeah, like that exactly.
Okay.
Things that apply now, currently.
Okay, that's fair.
Nonetheless, we're going to do a framework of that sort. It's like a little refresher. Who's the least playing? Who is currently here sleeping in the city?
Mm-hmm.
The Florida Panthers. What do we know about them, Justin?
Shall I kick things off? Okay, the Florida Panthers are the President's Trophy winners from 2021-2022. So
this is Wikipedia now.
Yeah, this is another
form. I also use Wikipedia.
This is another form of cheating in high school and university. They were swept, however, by the Tampa Bay Lightning in round two last year.
Yes.
After beating the Washington Capitals in round one. So if the Leafs have like secured, transferred some powers from the Lightning, which I don't think is actually much of a stretch to say, then the Leafs could be in a good spot here.
Okay.
But that really sent them into a bit of a tailspin. They traded a guy who was, I believe, nominated for the Hart, or at least in that discussion, in Jonathan Huberdeau, who set records offensively with the franchise in their President's Trophy season, along with Mackenzie Weegar, who was a really impressive defenseman, for Matthew Tkachuk. They felt like they needed to be a lot more difficult to play against in the Stanley Cup playoffs after they got embarrassed. And all of a sudden, they're in round two with Matthew Tkachuk. They also fired their coach, Andrew Brunette, and hired Paul Maurice. They also lost a lot of talent in the summer because they went all in, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just mentioned a team that sent, the New York Rangers. They really got aggressive. They traded for the likes of Tarasenko and Kane a year later with Sherratt and Claude Giroux. They lost those two players along with Mason Marchment, Frank Vetrano, Nola Chari, our guy.
Nola Chari.
And Spencer Knight left the Florida Panthers this year, the goaltender who took over.
Mm-hmm.
On personal leave, he entered the player assistant program, unfortunately. So a little bit of a brain drain for the Florida Panthers. It came back this year diminished. So we did our preseason predictions, and I said they'd be 30 points worse. They were actually exactly 30 points worse. So that's the only thing I got right prior to the season. So they finished 30 points shy of last season's total, squeezed into the playoffs by 1 point. How are we doing with the SparksNotes?
I'm feeling ready for the exam.
Are you?
Yep.
Okay, that was last year. Now let's do this year.
Shoot.
They scored 0.6 goals per game less than last year, where they were like historically a great offensive team. But they still, despite scoring more than a half goal less per game, still top five of the league in scoring. So this is a good offensive team. Still.
They put the puck in the net.
But they gave up more goals per game than any team to make the playoffs this year. So we're talking about
kind of offsets.
Talking about overs, right?
Yeah.
A good offensive team that can't keep the puck out of their own net. Still really strong analytically, but what we can deduce from that is they're still a high-powered offense that really struggles to play defensively at a strong level, or at least their goaltender lets them down. So
and they've had a bit of a tandem for times this post
they have had tandems for times this
season. We talked about the Alex Lyon experience, but it looks like Bobrovsky might have kind of won the net back.
So I think Bobrovsky is like the ultimate X factor in this series because this guy has lost his starter's position since signing $10.5 million, I believe. At least $10 million. So $80 million plus, Sergei Bobrovsky comes over, and in every single year that he's played with the Florida Panthers, he has lost his job either permanently for that season or temporarily.
$10 million a year.
$10 million a year. So 3 years ago, he lost it to Chris Drieger, who ended up in Seattle and has never been heard from again.
Chris Drieger?
Yeah.
That's a fake name.
No. That's going to be on the test.
I was going to say, that's one of the multiple choice questions that you do not circle because you've never heard of this man's name.
Chris Drieger. I believe taken in the expansion draft or traded to Seattle. Anyway, he lost his job to him. He lost his job the following season to Spencer Knight. He lost the job again this year, briefly to Alex Lyon. Now he's in the starter's role again. He is a guy who has won two Vezina trophies, mm-hmm. could go to the Hall of Fame, but constantly loses his job. He was also in net for the biggest upset in history, the last biggest upset in history.
And then again.
Four years ago? Mm-hmm. 4 years ago, yeah, beating the Tampa Bay Lightning four straight games, and now again. So he's something about the flair for dramatic with Bobrovsky, but he could also be major pumpkin. So that's one thing we'll talk about in a little bit. But Matthew Tkachuk comes over, has a Hart Trophy candidate-like season, scoring mm-hmm. 40 goals, 109 points. And Brandon Montour came out of nowhere. Kind of fringe Norris Trophy. He replaced Mackenzie Weegar. He's not really been great at any point, but was and is right now. So mm-hmm. Tkachuk, Montour, Bobrovsky, kind of like the X factors that stand out right now. Where does that leave us with the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Honestly, it feels like, and I think a lot of people are echoing this, I'm really hard to read series at this point for me. Maybe it's because I've had the Horse Blinders, as you mentioned, on, and the Florida Panthers came in, and I talked about this, I like jokingly said, well, maybe they'll give the Bruins a little bit of fight because they had to claw their way into the playoffs. They had Matthew Tkachuk's father, Keith Tkachuk, mm-hmm. ripping this team, saying
that should be in the Spark Notes.
That should be. Yeah, I'm making an appendix here for you.
Yeah, thank you.
That they basically, I don't know, not lucked, but that clawed their way into the postseason. So at that point, you're like, how do you what to expect from a team like that, right? You're going up against the league's best, the best ever regular season against the Boston Bruins with basically no expectations, right? Just make it, don't get swept. A lot of people had them getting swept. They had them getting one win, and they do the unthinkable, the thing that nobody believed in them, even their post-game audio, which kind of scares me a bit. They're all like, everybody didn't, like, nobody counted on us, nobody mm-hmm. believed in us, but us. Like, we are a team that is, we have big expectations for ourselves and we believe in each other. This might be the biggest upset in history to other people, not to us. They have like this team unity, this cardiac cat is like, that's not in the Sparks most, but I'm adding it as well. Cardiac okay. cats.
I got that bolded, underlined, highlighted.
Perfect. And that's what can be scary about teams that do something against all odds is they're playing loose and free. And that's a little bit frightening.
Well, it's a bit of a dangerous elixir for the Leafs here because this is a skeleton of a truly great team from a year ago. President's Trophy winner, the best team in hockey over the regular season just a year ago. And they are acting or at least have a mindset like they have nothing to lose, mm-hmm. like they are inferior, like they are ultimate chip on the shoulder. It doesn't matter because we're just happy to be here. Cinderella type yes. vibe. But it's like Cinderella. And last year, they were whatever the opposite of Cinderella is. They were the one seeds. Mm-hmm. They were the heavyweights. So they got a little bit of a, if you're the Maple Leafs, you're a little bit wary, at least, of how this team is embraced like a mental state in which there's no pressure. It's stress-free. They can just play. But they really are a team that, frankly, outpaced them only a year ago and have added a legitimate playoff performer, or at least someone who can and will be a major storyline. If we're talking about lead antagonists, Matthew Tkachuk might be the one this entire playoff for the Maple Leafs. So it's an interesting team. There's a reason why they were 30 points worse, for sure, but there's a reason why they're here, and it is partly to do with what they've done recently, who they are as who they've embraced in terms of their identity, but also last season when they were awesome. And there are still signs of them being mm-hmm. awesome, just that they are a little bit diminished, at least from a talent perspective. The Leafs and Florida Panthers did meet four times this year. Three games went to overtime. Oh. Three games were won by Toronto. The only game that didn't go to overtime, Toronto rolled pretty easily. I think it was 6-2. And Austin Matthews has scored in every single game versus Florida this year.
Great points for
the test will come at 8:30.
Okay, the wake and rake time would be interesting. Sounds like a big over series. Just first glance.
And we're about to do like kind of our keys, our reflection points, our biggest storylines coming into the season. And I do think that, yeah, on the surface, it seems like, okay, over. But the Leafs should be looking to do exactly what Tampa did last year, which is to be the team that makes things difficult. Be the team that you kind of have to go through in order to get to the front of the net. The team that wants to cut down on total scoring chances, like the Lightning tried to do with the Maple Leafs in the first round. I feel like there's one team that can win both two ways, be it low scoring games and high scoring games, while Florida can only really win if they open it up. So how are the Leafs going to approach a series where all of a sudden they're kind of looking at themselves in the mirror? That's the Florida Panthers now are kind of what the Maple Leafs had been, where they're not defensively responsible. They're working on their issues in neutral zone, defensive zone, but boy, could they score. They're kind of looking at their former selves, and that's kind of a key, I think, in looking at like how to handicap the series and what the Leafs have to do to win it.
So great refresher for those of you that are cramming for the test, which begins at 7 p.m. tonight. I think it's a good point to talk about what we learned from round one, what gives us signs of optimism, and then also things that give us concern, because that was a weird round one. It was not a stringing together of great performances. I think it took me a little bit of time to compile this list about what did I even learn from six games? Leafs in six. Yeah, great, Leafs in six, but there was three crazy OT winning games. There was two massive comebacks. There was one game where the Leafs steamrolled the Tampa Bay Lightning.
There was only one game where they looked like regular season Leafs.
So it was like, it's you win how you win. You make it through the first round, and we'll talk about how that can propel a team forward. But it was, it was a weird series. Like, it wasn't, I think everybody can agree that it wasn't the series that you had predicted. Nonetheless, I think there's definitely some real things that we can glean from how the Maple Leafs got through the first round, and now we're in a position to do even more. Do you want to start with things that give you optimism? Do you want to start with things that give you concern, or go flip-flop?
You start us off.
Okay.
Let's go with optimism, though.
The first thing for me is Ilya Samsonov.
Okay.
He's the first thing I wrote down. It was the first thing I thought of when I was talking to myself about things I learned from the first round. I learned that he can be the best goaltender in a series. He is a guy that I think the bet on yourself or to Kyle Dubas move certainly has paid off in small sample size. Down the stretch, we talked about a guy that is going to have to capture the net. He did just that. The backup, if Ilya Samsonov isn't able to perform, is what gives me concern. We won't go there yet. Mm-hmm. But I think Ilya Samsonov earned a lot of respect and his flowers for the way that he was able to shut down some of these massive pushes that the Tampa Bay Lightning gave. The Maple Leafs were not the better team in a lot of those games, and it comes down to sometimes your goaltender being able to steal a game. He did just that. I think that he gives me the highest level of optimism. And then in brackets, I wrote cautiously because, it's goaltending. There's one guy in the net. The backup situation, Matt Murray was on the ice yesterday, which is strange.
I think they said he's going to be the third goaltender for now.
Okay, so now we have some news about Matt Murray. But still, it's Joseph Woll, and that's okay because on the other side, they have Alex Lyon. So, like, they're kind of in the same boat. If you look at how the Florida Panthers, I mean, Alex Lyon got a little bit more play down the stretch here. He had some moments where he really stole the spotlight.
He got them into the playoffs,
but he's still, a Joseph Woll-esque, a rookie-ish goaltender, a young guy with not a lot of experience. So, I mean, if, and that's the bad case scenario, that Samsonov isn't the guy sometime in the series, I don't think it's that big of a drop-off to have Woll come in when you look at who's on the other side of the ice as well. So, like Samsonov for me.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, things we learn, confidence. I mean, this might be 80% focused on Samsonov, but I agree. I think the take, at least on the goaltending, is that Samsonov is proven to be far more reliable than whatever we're going to see on the other side for the Florida Panthers. He was great all season long. He had little flutters here and there, whether it was nerves, whether it was, around the Christmas break. There were a couple moments where you're like, oh, this is when Sergei Bobrovsky, this is when Ilya Samsonov turns into something lesser than what he has been. But, and we also saw that for a moment in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But every time we thought that for a second, or we were worried about it for even a second, he shut the door on it. He answered all of his critics, and he did it once again in the first round versus the Tampa Bay Lightning, outplaying Andrei Vasilevsky. So I think what I learned, or what I can glean from these two teams coming into this moment, is that the goaltending is more stable with Toronto, and that Florida's, however, though, is the big X factor, because Sergei Bobrovsky can be really, really good, but almost always his brilliance is fleeting. So have we already seen the best Bob? Did we see the best Bob in the final three games versus the Boston Bruins? Perhaps, even though he still let in goals. It's just that this guy is the ultimate boomer bust. He was outstanding in February. He was terrible in March again in April, lost his job to Alex Lyon, as you mentioned. Bob can hurt you in a game, maybe a series, but I don't trust him to be the best goaltender in the series. I trust Ilya Samsonov with his body of work this year to be the better goaltender and give the Leafs the advantage that way.
Agree. If you can, last series, we did not count on Ilya Samsonov to be the better goaltender. It almost felt like not even something we brought up because it was Andrei Vasilevskiy. He found a way to do that, and that was a major X factor to why the Maple Leafs won round one. But I expect that this time around. So, okay, give me something from your list.
I kind of mentioned this one, but I did a lot, actually, so I'll be very brief. The Leafs have two ways to win now, and Florida only has one. The Leafs, I think, out-Tampa'd Tampa in some ways, at least maybe in game six, because we never saw the Leafs win tight games. We always saw the Leafs, okay, this is how we have to do it. We have to overwhelm opponents. We have to be better offensively. And we've seen a lot of resistance to that recently where they have found other ways to win. They can shut down on chances, events, and they can win games that are tightly contested because of their goaltending, but because they are more mature and responsible all the way across the board. It seems like Florida is still the team that got completely outclassed by Tampa in round two last year, where Tampa's just like, oh, we got through Toronto. We might be able to get to a Stanley Cup final again. Let's absolutely put the vice grip on this Florida team, and it worked. I think the Leafs can do some of that. I think they can win games that are played to 6-5. I think they can win games that are played to 2-1. I think they are more equipped to win in all areas, while Florida is like, we need to probably score 4 a night to win. And I think for that reason, it gives me optimism that the Leafs can take advantage of the we have more ways to win narrative.
That was exactly number two for me, but I kind of titled it resilience and pushback, and similar framework that the Maple Leafs found a way to win games that they shouldn't have. They found a way to win OT three times, right? Or three OT. Were they all on the road? No. One OT at home, right? How many OT games did they win?
I think they won all three OT games on the road because they won handedly at home.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, that's a different Maple Leafs team. I think you're right about the maturity. I think it's right about you have that experience now. You go into round two and you are down in a game. You're in overtime in a game. You don't have to think back to the regular season or a different year that you were able to prosper in that moment. You literally look back to last week and say, we just had our back up against the wall against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and we found a way to win this game. You have to have a short-term memory when it comes to situations that you don't want to look back on, but this thing is going to stick in that locker room. It's going to be able to bond that team even tighter when there's moments of pushback and resilience that they need, and I think that's a huge level of optimism for me that the Maple Leafs found that. They earned that. And they're not going to forget that in round two if they go down 1-0 or, you know, the Florida Panthers get out to an early start, like blowing leads. Like, there's an opportunity for the Maple Leafs to look back and say, we just did this. We don't need to panic. So
I'll go
to my second one, my one after that, I mean. The stars are shining. I think that is pretty much the underlying story throughout the first round is when you needed big moments from big players, you found a way to get that. The core four now, maybe core six, core four or five, six, whatever you want to put it at, found ways to be dominant in that series. That was not the narrative previous playoff rounds. And with that, there's more to give. So it's, yeah, we're at a good stable point after round one, but there is more from Mitch Marner to be given. There's more from William Nylander and John Tavares and even Austin Matthews, who wrapped up that series on a pretty strong note. He can do more. He can do that consistently throughout the series and go head-to-head with Matthew Tkachuk and be the better player. So stars shining with more to give, for me, is a huge point of confidence.
You say stars, I'll say centers, and there's a lot of overlap there, obviously, because a lot of the core six, as we're putting it now, play the center ice position. But I think that's one of the keys to the series, is that the Leafs have the centers that the Boston Bruins didn't, just because they were dealing with injuries. Boston was without Krejci, without Bergeron for long stretches in the series, got them back for game six, but they were clearly different players. And that's kind of where Florida made its inroads. Boston just did not have the bodies in the end. Their spine of the team, if you want to call it that, was heavily compromised. And that's not what the Toronto Maple Leafs are dealing with right now. Their best player is Austin Matthews. He's their lead dog through the middle of the ice. John Tavares has had moments in the series, or the series previous, and has struggled at times as well. But I like the matchup through the middle for him, too, a lot better than I did with Tampa. And, of course, Ryan O'Reilly is a shutdown center, an elite guy in that respect. I think as long as this team stays healthy, which it seems to be, I think they have a huge advantage through the middle, and the advantage that Boston didn't through circumstances that were beyond their control through the middle of the ice. So I think the center ice position gives me optimism in this matchup.
Next for me is this is a tougher team to play against. They actively went out and made their roster, to Maple Leafs, stronger, tougher, older, more experienced. Shen, Achari, O'Reilly, just that three, that trio of new faces have been a massive factor to why Maple Leafs got through round one. They will be continuing that. I think Achari's leading the postseason in hits. Like, that is a completely different makeup of a team that used to be just skill and speed, but now they have the bodies to back it up. I think that that's going to be huge in this series. Florida's a chippier team. They're tough to play against. They got some big guys that will also want to muck it up a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think the Maple Leafs are in a better position than they have been previously because they're tougher and scarier is maybe not the right word, but they can back up. They can talk the talk and walk the walk.
They don't wilt anymore.
That's it.
And I think, you know, those layers that you talked about added for, you know, just getting through playoff rounds and all that stuff. But it's also for the best players, making life difficult on the best players. And I think if I'm going to kind of extend mine into yours, the task is a lot simpler that way. Like, if you have layers, what are you sending those layers at? Well, it's really only Matthew Tkachuk. And I think the benefit of this series compared to the last one is that the task is more simple in that you have to shut down one guy. And if you get to, you know, what is there, a weakness? I don't know. If there's like a weakness in an entity, like what's the pressure point, whatever that might be. The pressure point is Matthew Tkachuk, right? If you get to Matthew Tkachuk, if you shut him down, I think the whole thing collapses. The organism fails if you stop Matthew Tkachuk, at least in my mind. So if they can send, if it's Matthew Tkachuk having to go through Ryan O'Reilly and then having to go through Jake McCabe or Luke Shen to get to the front of the net, which is going to be very, very important in this series, is denying that part of the ice to Matthew Tkachuk. I just think they can send more at one guy and allocate their resources more effectively because Tampa had so many more threats than I think Florida has. So I think the task for those guys is more simple, which should benefit the Maple Leafs.
Okay, so I have two more quick things to give us optimism. I definitely want to make sure we get to things that give us concern because, yeah, it's not Leafs in four for me. Like, it's going to be a tougher series.
I got two more quick ones
as well.
Okay,
so Keefe can make hard adjustments, whether he was given a free pass sometimes with the Bunting suspension and having to put Matthew Nyes in, but having to make those tough decisions in game six, I think that gives me some cautious optimism because that might happen again. And he almost kind of ripped the Band-Aid off of having to have tougher decisions in round one.
I think Keith learned a lot about his team in round one, like a lot of knowledge of this group, right?
I think he learned a lot about himself.
That too. So I think you're spot on with that.
And one last one I'll give you. The hockey gods.
Oh.
The spirits. Weird stuff happened in round one for a lot of teams in the NHL. The Maple Leafs got the bounces. The Maple Leafs got through round
one. So did Florida.
Yeah. But I believe that there's some spirits helping the Maple Leafs right now.
Okay.
That's where I give the optimism to.
Two more quick ones. I think this is a tough turnaround for Florida emotionally. How do you go from rhyming off three straight, beating Boston and Boston three times, playing two nights later? I think that's a difficult turnaround, so it should allow the Leafs, I think they're going to win tonight, to get off on the right foot. And also, Boston's power play absolutely, absolutely torched the Florida Panthers. So that should portend good things for the Maple Leafs. If they can get that power play going, if they can utilize that, weaponize that, I think that puts them in a great spot.
I don't know. I'm kind of in a different perspective about
You think Florida power play is better than...
No. I definitely don't think that. About just the mindsets of both teams coming in. My area that gives me concern is the Maple Leafs and complacency.
Oh.
And underestimating the opponent.
I don't think so.
I'm just it's just an area that gives me concern.
Okay.
I certainly think it can go the other way. But just the narrative that I can give you right now is the Maple Leafs just got through something that is cathartic. It is a release. It is a moment of, oh my God, we did it. And the Florida Panthers are kind of in a similar boat, but riding this momentum that nobody really expected this thing from us. The Maple Leafs were supposed to win that round one. Yeah, but, you know, in the end, they did it against all odds 19 years later. But I definitely I worry a little bit about, it's not the Boston Bruins. It's the Florida Panthers. Just this mentality of, oh, we don't have to go through the best ever team in the regular season, the guys that we have, you know, these demons against, we play in the Florida Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
We made it through round one. Oh, things will go our way now. I just worry a little bit about that being a mindset that the Maple Leafs could fall into. But
yeah.
I do believe strongly in the monkey off the back, the momentum that Maple Leafs can find. I just worry that there could be a little bit of a, hey, we made it through. Like, we did the unthinkable thing. We made it through. Like, we're good now, right? We look at the bracket ahead. We're the best team. We're the Stanley Cup favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a little bit of, oh, we're smooth sailing? I just think that's going to be the difference of these people, the veterans that you added to your team. Did you get maturity? Did you learn something from round one? That's what we see in game one and two at home.
Yeah, I mean, the process of proving yourself as like a postseason entity is ongoing.
Yes.
You're definitely right about that. Like, they haven't,
but they
just,
also said
they're
the
just
things,
not immediately cured.
100%. And they said the right things. Like, yeah. I believe that this team isn't going to come that way, but it still can be a level of concern for me when I look at how it could affect a squad that did something they haven't done in a long time and now mm-hmm. could take their foot off the gas even a little bit, because look at the Florida Panthers.
I am, if we're doing the mindset thing, I'm more concerned about Florida's mindset. I'll have that as my, I guess, my number one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to apply in game one. I think they're in a really good spot. I think there's an emotional letdown that's like inevitable. It's really hard to overcome that, like, oh, we can take a deep breath. We got through. Now, what is this opponent we're about to face? Like, I think that's going to be tough. Where I think that comes in is game two, because mm-hmm. then they're like, oh, we're down. All right. They're already playing the game. We're down. We shouldn't be here. No one believes in us. And they go out and play completely carefree and without any you know, mental shackles, and then steal game one, and then they're, or game two rather, and then they're in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they're in it and they can play the game. Hey, we're here. We can do this. We're going home. We got home ice advantage all of a sudden. Like, I think their mindset can really help them because they are truly playing with nothing.
Well, I think ours play into each other mm-hmm. because even if the Maple Leafs come with a good mindset, the Florida Panthers can have that unpredictable, chaotic, we're just here to make stuff happen. So I think both teams have a little bit of a different perspective of what this series could mean for them and what their expectations are too. Like, what is success for the Florida Panthers? Did they already get what they kind of didn't expect? Like, they could also have the foot off the gas thing too. So I think both teams, it'll be interesting to see it. Like, tonight's game, if you feel that confident about the Maple Leafs, like, I think that if getting up 1-0 in this series can mean so much to them, just think about the city as well, right? Like, they're aware of how much this means, like the crowd, the momentum, the boost. I think there's something there. Quickly, should we tell people we're doing tarot cards
we'll get to it, folks.
We got to get to it. So that was my number one. My number two is still the decor a little bit. Can Morgan Rielly and Luke Shen play better than they played in round one?
Do they have to?
They might have to if there's regression from Gio, if there's Hall still being a question mark. Gustafson and Liljegren played one game.
Mm-hmm.
Brody McCabe settled in, though, at the end. So my level of concern is that, and we brought this up, is their decor good enough? Maybe the Florida Panthers are the perfect matchup to not have that exploited yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how much better those guys can play. They played damn great. But Gio was starting to get some more miles. Hall was the whipping boy for the whole series. Is he going to be put back in the lineup? And then Gustafson and Liljegren, like, I thought they did all right in game six, but they played one game. So just, I'm not always rah, rah, rah. We had the best decor on the planet.
Will always be a concern.
Yes.
So I just mentioned the layers with Matthew Tkachuk that you can send at him. I'm still not 100% convinced that you have an answer for Matthew Tkachuk. And I think he's kind of like, he's a key variable for sure in this series. So I think one of my main ones is like, this guy is Corey Perry in his prime right now. And they have struggled to deal with current Corey Perry, who's straight ring chasing, playing on a fourth line, happy with a far reduced role. Matthew Tkachuk is a danger in terms of he's an elite player who can get and can play the game that the Leafs have had difficulty playing previously. So while I do think a Ryan O'Reilly stuck to Matthew Tkachuk is probably a good spot to be in if you're the Maple Leafs, you can't have him stuck to Matthew Tkachuk at all times. And I feel like if you can't properly deal with this player who has been dealt with previously, I mean, I was listening, I think it was 32 Thoughts yesterday. They were talking about how Evander Kane like completely took Matthew Tkachuk out of last year's series where the Edmonton Oilers just took control. And I don't know if they have someone who can deal with Tkachuk, at least at that physical level. I think from a defensive standpoint, Ryan O'Reilly's that guy. But Matthew Tkachuk is going to have his say. And if he's all-world Matthew Tkachuk, he could be the best player in the series.
That's all for my levels of concern.
I got one more.
Okay.
And that's just the, very briefly, team is kind of built on middle class. And Tampa's like that as well. Like, Tampa has high-end players, but they also have, like, there's not really a low point. They don't really have a soft spot in their lineup. But Florida doesn't either. There's a lot of no-name players, kind of, that are really good that don't get any real respect or limelight. And I think a team that can trouble the Maple Leafs is the one where you can't pinpoint an exact weakness. It could be difficult at times for Tavares, the skating, because the Panthers do play at a high pace. So it's just like, be wary of the players that you haven't heard much about, because they are quite good, and it's not like there's a huge letdown from shift to shift. They play kind of consistently, and they play, if you look at them analytically, at a really high level from a shot share standpoint. So they are better than they seem, I guess, and built on the middle class is not necessarily a bad thing.
I think the underlying points, if you're going to Sparks notes this one up, don't take this team lightly.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes down to that. I mean, the Maple Leafs should never take any team lightly.
It needs, it needs a Tampa effort again.
You haven't proven anything. You won one round, and we've celebrated that, but this is now a new series and a new team and new stakes and a completely different look. So you just, you have to go in every single game. Is like, I don't want to say game seven because it hasn't been successful for the Maple Leafs, but I think you get out on the right foot. You never take your foot off the gas pedal, and you don't look ahead too much at the bracket and, you know, what team's standing in your way. You got one team standing in your way right now, and this playoff round one has proven to be that anybody can win. So never, like, I wouldn't second guess this opponent. One thing I want to read. Anthony from Hamilton said, I'm surprised no one's mentioned the McCabe factor in the context that in 2023 we have Jake McCabe, and in 2004 we had Brian McCabe when we won a first round series. So, I mean, that's completely justified, Anthony. Something about
just,
the McCabes.
If there's McCabes left in the seventh round, just take a flyer.
Who cares? They've never played.
Keep the hockey gods happy.
Okay, speaking of hockey gods and the spirit world, the tarot cards are making a return for round two in the A-list. We'll go through them. We have some questions.
And I know there was a little resistance, but I'll explain why we're doing it after the break.
Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Now, it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right, it's A-list tease. No A-list today.
Well.
And we do have to explain ourselves here because we're going to do a tarot reading, a quick one, for two reasons. Two important reasons. Superstition, we're a little stitious, right? We are. We're trying to.
It was right there.
Last week, we're talking
not
all
week. Not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
We're a little stitious.
Watch The Office.
We're doing things. I thought I quoted it.
No.
We're talking about what are you doing to do your part? If we're keeping things uniform, we did this to the start of round one.
But also, it worked, folks.
And I think most importantly here, we're doing it because we believe in accountability on this show. If I say something stupid, I'm mocked relentlessly for it.
Yes.
I'm given gag gifts that last a lifetime. If you make up a word, it enters the dictionary of Ailish. So,
which I haven't done in a while. So,
no, we might need one of those.
That's the English major in me.
So, yeah, if you mess up, you got to be called out for it. Mm-hmm. And so far, the tarot reading or the tarot gods, the spirits have been wrong, or at least there's some confusion. Was that about game one or round one? Because game one was exactly what we saw from the tarot reading. So, accountability, we're responsible for our actions and we need answers. So an explanation as to why we were led to believe that the Leafs and Kyle Dubas would suffer a terrible, gruesome demise when over the weekend we experienced the greatest moment ever for this franchise, or at least in the last
ever.
Two decades. For many people.
Okay.
For many people.
Yes.
Okay, so you're shuffling the deck. The first question is, what gives? Were you messing with us, spirit world? Were you purposely misdirecting us? Explain yourself. Explain the deceit. We aren't looking to be made fools again. And again, maybe the caveat of, was that a game one outlook? Were you confused? What was going on there? So what role are you, the spirits, playing? What were your intentions? Can we trust this process again? Ailish, deal the cards.
You ready?
I am.
The Ten of Diamonds. It looks like a good card. I have a good vibe about this, Justin.
Ten of Diamonds or the Ten of Pentacles. And it is upright?
Yes.
Legacy, roots, family, ancestry, inheritance, windfall, foundations, privilege, affluence, stability, tradition. The Ten of Pentacles card, there's an old man seated in an archway leading into a great estate. It seems he is the head of the family, for he is surrounded by younger loved ones. He wears a robe that is decorated with moon crescents and grapevines, indicating the joining of spirit and matter. He has family and dogs with him.
That's why I thought it was a good card, because there's dogs.
There is a happy couple in front of him, presumably his children and playful child in behind. The Ten of Pentacles deals with permanence and satisfaction. Card shows that everything they've put your efforts into for a long time will pay off in the future. It suggests that everything will work out in the end, for you have always kept the long-term picture in view, choosing to take no shortcuts. Your legacy is sure to stand for quite a long time to come. This is a relief, for the path to get here has been filled with setbacks and challenges, making this point of the journey even sweeter. Now, we asked about the spirit's role.
I gotta tell you, I don't know how to read that one.
It's a bit confusing. But really, is their goal to continue to keep us on the edge of our seat, to continue to confuse us? In this card, the aged man is able to sit back and relax while the lives of the children, while watching the lives of the children and grandchildren.
That's Brendan Shanahan watching.
The satisfaction he derives from his achievement is interwoven in the children's happiness. It seems
positive.
That they continue to keep us on edge.
Okay, let's ask.
I can't really derive That's anything fine. From that.
They're like messing with us again. But let's ask the questions about this team in this moment.
Okay.
I think that applies most.
Okay, so I thought the most pressing question, and since we have to kind of put a life form on these things, because clearly that didn't work. The monkey. Has it been removed from the collective backs after all? The long-standing theory has always been that one series victory would liberate the Maple Leafs and send them on a path to glory. That hypothesis is taken on the life form of the monkey, famously referenced by Austin Matthews, who profoundly announced after the series victory over Tampa that it has been rendered extinct. So tell us about the monkey, its absence, what that means for the organization. Provide us insight into the intentions of the monkey and what the absence actually means.
This is a big moment right here. This is a big card. The Two of Clubs.
Two of Clubs. Also known as the Two of Wands. Is that upright or reversed?
It's reversed. Uh-oh.
Bad planning, overanalyzing, not taking action, playing it safe, avoiding risk. Again, this is for the monkey. The Two of Wands card features a man sitting on top of what looks like a castle or a monkey. And in his right hand, he holds a miniature globe. For the way he is standing, the man is looking, or monkey, down upon a vast terrain in which the ocean lies on the left side. Land stretches over the right-hand side. The man is wearing an orange tunic and a red hat. Miniature globe represents the potential for possible expansion of his reach. Two of Wands, a more mature version of the Ace of Wands, meaning that this tarot card is all about planning and moving forward progression.
Okay,
there's something there. Look at this this way. You've already set out to achieve a particular task, which means you have turned an idea into a realistic plan. Such a plan will require fulfillment, and therefore you have to progress from just having the plan to actually achieving what you set out for.
Sounds to me like it's almost extinct.
Discovery?
You're on the verge of the monkey being off forever.
This means you are stepping out of your cocoon and exploring new experiences and worlds, which the Leafs are. While the beginning might seem tough and difficult, it has. The Two of Wands cards encourages you to strive on and push forward.
The job's not done. That's what I get from this. The job's not done. It's a round one. They know they have bigger aspirations, bigger goals. That's what they're focused on.
The Two of Wands cards means that you are beginning to realize your objectives and long-term goals before you set out to achieve these
That's
objectives.
It.
In other words, you've strived to get to where you are now moving forward. You have your long-term goals in mind.
That's it.
In summary, the Two of Wands revolves around making decisions, rather. In other words, you are either satisfied with your current knowledge or you're moving forward and taking risks. It means leaving our comfort zones and exploring new territory. That's exactly what we're doing tonight.
I like that one. I like it because we're not jumping for joy because it's just one series. There is a bigger task ahead, a bigger goal ahead in the card. implies that job's not done.
It didn't really address the monkey.
Screw the monkey.
The monkey's extinct for all we know.
All right, I'm pulling a card and it says that Jeff Merrick is on the other side of the break. That's next.